What is up? Wow, has it been a minute? It has been a motherfreaking minute. Let me tell you why that is. You would think that during a pandemic, everyone would just have so much time on their hands and be able to do whatever the hell they wanted to. Let me tell you, I have never felt more busy in my entire life. And that may have to do with the fact that I'm like a senior in high school, and maybe I would be so busy regardless of whether there was a pandemic or not. But the point is, there are like a trillion things going on, and whenever I do have free time, I am like too tired to read a book and talk about it. I'm sorry, I'm gonna say it. As much as I love my book discussions, as much as I love to talk about books, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I need to like find my motivation again. You know what I mean? So I am really, really hoping that I will be able to do this more because I really, really like it and it's really fun. Let me tell you a few things that have been going on. Let me talk about myself for a bit, you know, because everyone loves to talk about themselves, so just let me have a moment. Okay. First of all, like I said, I'm a senior, so you know what that means? We're applying to colleges, and I am trying to be a musical theater major, which is a little ambitious. I found out a lot of programs accept less than like 20 kids every year, and I feel like lots of people audition. So I'm kind of nervous. I'm filming my first pre-screen in the next couple days, and I am extremely scared about it. I've never been so nervous about an audition in my life. I have never doubted my own abilities more in my entire life. So, we've been stressing about that, but I'm trying to like be chill about it and like be excited because like if it goes well in a year, I could be singing and dancing all the time. Because the truth is, I can't really do much else, which is a little sad. But no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be cool. What else has been happening? I got a new job, my first like real job, so that's kind of fun. I had my first day yesterday. It was kind of overwhelming, but it's gonna get better. It's gonna get easier. Just gotta like learn how to do things better, you know? So that's fun. It got cold today. It got cold. Like, it feels like fall outside, and I am being very cozy right now. I have my fuzzy socks on and my hot cocoa, and it is 9:45 p.m. on a Friday. And yeah, we're chilling. I like the cold. We don't get that a lot in Texas. We don't get a lot of fall energy. So I'm soaking it up while it lasts. All right. Well, I think that's all the updates on me. That you would like care to know. Oh, I got my driver's license. Finally, I got it a couple months ago, so 4 months away from my 18th birthday, which is just great. But you know what? I think we should normalize getting your license later on in life. You don't have to be 16. You can get your license when you're 17, you can get it when you're 30, you can get it when you're 90. It doesn't matter. Normalize getting your license late. So yeah, but that's been like really fun, being able to drive myself and just like go places. It's a new sense of freedom I didn't know I was like really missing out on. I'm on season 6 of Glee now. If you listen to the, I think it was episode 2, I mentioned that I had started Glee in quarantine, watched it for the first time because I never watched it. I'm on season 6 now, and it's crazy because on the one hand, every episode feels like a fever dream. But on the other hand, I kind of love it. It's like comforting in a way. Like, I mean, a lot of people say it's their comfort show because of nostalgia, but it's not even about nostalgia for me because it's not like I watched it like 5 years ago. But I just, there's something about it that's like calming to me. I don't know. I'm having a Glee-themed birthday party. Well, not a party because it's pandemic. I'm having a small get-together. And it's going to be Glee-themed. And I'm very, very excited about that. But I'm going to finish up season 6 in the next few days. And then I'll be an official Glee expert, maybe. I don't know. All right. Well, let's get into today's book. Since, like I said, things have been kind of crazy, I've been kind of busy, I wanted to pick something that wasn't going to take me, like, an insanely long time to read. Real quick, I want to apologize for the white noise. I don't have my, like, usual quote-unquote equipment. I have, like, nothing, but I don't have the usual program I use to, like, kind of get rid of that, so there might be some extra, like, fuzz in the background, which is, like, extremely annoying, and I sincerely apologize. But anyway, like I was saying, I wanted to pick a book that didn't take, like, an insanely long time to read. So, the book I picked was a book I had completely forgotten about, completely blocked from my mind. And then I was looking for something else on our bookshelves, and I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I totally remember that. So, like I've said before, y'all probably heard that really loud, I'm so sorry. Like I said before, I was homeschooled for, third and fourth grade, and, by just my mother with no outside influence, and, she'd always, like, pick books to read to us that we'd all read together, like, her and me and my sisters. And one of those books that she'd pick for us to read is called Betsy Taisy by Maud Hart Lovelace. And I had completely forgotten about it, but the minute I keep hitting my mic. That's, like, really annoying. I'm sorry. But, like, the minute I saw it, it was, like, the entire book just, like, came back into my brain, and I was, like, oh my gosh, like, I have to go back and read that. So I did, and, it was way shorter than I remembered it being, and also, as cute of a book as it was, I have to say a little less exciting than I remembered it being, but at the same time, it was a very cute, cozy read, and now I will get into it. So, but yeah, the book is called Betsy Taisy. I remembered it being called Betsy and Taisy, but it's just Betsy-Taisy. I keep hitting the microphone. I'm so sorry. It's just called Betsy Taisy by Maud Hart Lovelace. And I decided I want to, like, do some research on, like, the authors that the books I, like, read and talk about, because I feel like I should know that. So a bit about her. She's an American author, or was. She was born in 1892. In Mankato, Minnesota, and she died at the age of 87 in 1980 in Claremont, California. She began her career writing historical novels. Her first one was titled The Black Angels, published in 1926. Another successful novel she wrote was Early Candlelight, published in 1929. The Betsy Taisy series, because it's a series, I forgot to mention that. The Betsy Taisy series started in 1938 when Lovelace would tell stories about her childhood to her daughter Marion. The character of Betsy is based on herself, and Taisy is based on her childhood best friend, Frances Kenny, who went by Bic. So there are 10 books in the Betsy Taisy series. I've read, like, the first 4, I believe. I know, like, the books, like, they start when they're, like, 5 and they go all the way to till they're, like, married, but I don't think I read any books past when they were, like, 12 years old. There are 10 books in the series written and published over the course of 15 years. The series was very well received. The first edition of Betsy Taisy went through more than 30 printings after its initial publication, and a paperback edition of the first 6 books was published in the 1970s, and then the books went out of print in the 1980s. But then, in 1990, a group of adult fans established the Betsy Taisy Society in Mankato. They convinced HarperCollins through letter writing to bring the first 4 books back into print by 1992. So new editions of all 10 books in the series were published and remain available to purchase today. And the version I have is one of those, like, the new ones that they, like, republished in the 90s. The setting of the book, it's a fictional town called Deep Valley, Minnesota, but it's based on Mankato, Minnesota, and it takes place roughly around 1898, 1899 at the beginning of the book. I don't know exactly for sure. So that is a little bit of history. And now we can talk about it. I don't know if you've read it. I don't know who's listening to this. I have never talked to a single person who has read it, but from what I've seen online, it has like a really, the series has like a big following. So a little interesting because it's like, I've never heard of it, but then at the same time, everyone's heard of it. But then at the same time, I have never met someone who has heard of it, if that makes sense. All right, so let's go. I don't know if you can hear my page turns, if that's like triggering to your ears. I apologize. So the book starts and we meet, I don't want to say our main character because I guess it's about both of them, but there is a little bit more on emphasis. There's a little bit more emphasis on one of the halves of the duo. We meet Betsy, who, it kind of has a Ramona Quimby energy to me. Like, obviously, it's set in, like, a very different time period. But it's kind of like, you know, there's the young girl. She's the littlest on the street besides, like, the babies. There's no other girls her age to play with. She's got an older sister who has a lot of friends and is, like, very, like, put together. And she's kind of all over the place. It's very much kind of the same vibe as what I thought of when I read it. I don't know if y'all just heard me hiccup. That's awkward. Basically, she wants to meet another little girl. A new family moves in down the street, and they have a bunch of kids, and she hears that they have a little girl. So she's like, great, let me go meet their little girl, because I can be, like, best friends with her. She goes, and she sees a little girl sitting on the bench, and she tries to talk to her. She talks to her, and this other kid is shy and runs away from her. And she chases her because, you know, that's what you do when you approach someone and they don't want to talk to you and they walk away. You chase them, of course, but they're like 5, so it's fine. She chases her asking for her name and the girl calls back Tazy. Well, okay, here's the thing. I think it's pronounced Tazy. I'm really not sure, actually, because I cannot tell what this girl's name is. Her name's Tazy. She later tells us that it's short for Anastasia. But I don't know if that's like Anastasia or Anastasia because it's spelled with one N. And usually with two N's I've seen it's Anastasia and with one N it's Anastasia. But that's just like from people I've met or like seen. I don't know like how accurate that really is. So I don't know if it's spelled T-A-C-Y, so I don't know if it's Tacy or Tazy. I've said Tazy, and when my mom read it to me when I was little, she said Tazy, because Tazy seems to, like, roll off the tongue and sound better than Tacy. So I'm not 100% sure, but for my own understanding and comfortability, I'm gonna say Tazy. So if you don't like that, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But I'm gonna say Tazy. She says that her name is, she just yells Tazy. And then, Betsy, did I say the main girl's name was Betsy? I probably did. And then Betsy's like, you don't need to call names. And the girl disappears. And then she cries because she just wanted a friend. And this girl seems to, like, hate her. Then it's her birthday. It's her 5th birthday. And she's having a party with, like, a million children. Like, all the children on the street. And I guess that was, like, normal in that time. But I think she invites 15 kids to her 5-year-old birthday party. It's like, I don't think I had, like, a real birthday party till I was, like, 9 years old. And I don't, like, I remember going to one big party in second grade for someone's like eighth birthday. But I mean, obviously, like five is like really young, so maybe I just have zero memory. But I feel like I remember a couple things from when I was five, so I feel like I would maybe remember going to like a big birthday party. Or maybe I just didn't get invited. Maybe there was big parties for 5-year-olds and I just like was not invited because like I don't know, maybe no one liked me or something. But I cannot remember anyone ever having like huge birthday parties like that when they were five, but I guess maybe like back in these days, maybe that was the thing. Maybe every time someone had a birthday, they just like automatically assumed that every kid in the neighborhood was invited. Which is kind of fun, I guess. I always had like family parties when I was little. Like I didn't have like a real friend party till I was nine. Like I just said, like I'd always just because my cousins used to live like really close to me. So it was like every birthday you'd just get with your cousins and your aunts and uncles and your grandparents. And then when I was like 9, 10, 11, 12, that's when he started doing like inviting the friends to go do something. Yeah, so they have a birthday party, and her mom tells her she has to invite the girl, the new girl down the street. And Betsy's like, well, you know, this is gonna be awkward because she ran away from me because I scared her and she called me a name. So she invites the girl though, because her mom makes her. And the girl comes and with her older sister, I believe, and her older sister introduces her as Taisy, and Betsy's like, oh, that's awkward because I definitely yelled at her to not call me names when she was just talking about her name. So, it's kind of awkward for a second, but they bond at the party because they're like partnered for something. They like do like a birthday parade around the house and everyone has to pick a partner. And Betsy feels bad for thinking that Taisy was like a mean name, so she invites her to be their partner. And then it just kind of says that from that day on, they were just like best friends. Like just from the one day of being partners in the game. All of a sudden, they were best friends. Thing about this book, if I'm being completely honest, there's not really a whole lot to talk about because, I mean, this is a book about two, like, 5-year-old girls, so it's not like there's, like, really insane deep plot lines. Really, none of the chapters really tie together. They're all just, like, separate mini stories, and they all kind of go the same thing. You know, Betsy and Taisy, they want to do something outside. Like, there's this thing about wanting to climb the big hill in their town that they were too young to do before, but now they're old enough and they like take their dinner plates and go have picnics, or they make a like a little fort in a box type thing and they go hang out there, or they play in their dad's or in Betsy's dad's buggy and stuff. So the different chapters are just kind of them doing these like different little adventures. And then usually Betsy tells a story. Okay, we'll talk about characters then, because this is a good time to do that. Betsy, she reminds me. Oh, I forgot to say this in my life update. Oh my gosh, can't believe I forgot. I'm playing Jo March in a production of Little Women the Musical, and that's really fun and cool. That ties into what I'm saying right now, because I was going to say Betsy reminds me of like a 5-year-old Jo March, because she's very much has the like, not like other girls, like tomboy climbs a tree and scrapes her knee attitude. She loves to write and make up stories. And so that's what she does most of the time. Her and Taisy will be doing something outside, some adventure, climbing a hill, climbing a tree, and Betsy will make up a story about them, like jumping on clouds or meeting people or going to like they do one about them going to Milwaukee or whatever. And that's kind of the structure of most of the chapters. It's just like they're little mini stories. They do something fun. Betsy tells a story. Taisy listens. Taisy is a lot quieter, and it's very much like Betsy kind of leads, and Taisy does what Betsy think is best, because Betsy is a lot more outgoing and a little more like street smart, and Taisy's shyer, and just Taisy's just willing to, you know, do whatever she wants. All right. So skip a little bit forward. They have a couple little adventures. And then there is a chapter where it is Easter. And this chapter was kind of whack. Kind of pulled me all over the place. It was a little jarring because before that, it had just been, like I said, like these little, like, Betsy tells a story, go on an adventure chapters. And then all of a sudden, it's Easter. Their families are getting together to have Easter together because, like, all their kids are best friends with each other. And, well, okay, the first thing that threw me off is they dyed eggs and then they ate them. Which, maybe I'm just dumb and you're able to do that, but as far as I know, you can't eat the eggs that you dyed. I guess unless they dyed it with just, like, other stuff that was, like, safe to eat, but I feel like I wouldn't want to. I don't know. So yeah, they eat the eggs they dyed, which is really weird. And then all of a sudden, Taisy's sister, her baby sister, gets sick. And they're just like, oh yeah, Taisy's mom can't come to church today. She's taking care of the sick baby. And then, like, a page later, the baby just dies. Like, they're literally like, Taisy did not come to school the next day, for baby B died. And I was like, what? That was like, we switched up real fast, girl. So suddenly, the book is like, really sad, but like, insightful? Because obviously, Taisy's upset that her baby sister died. Well, okay, first of all, Betsy sneaks out of the house, like, early in the morning, and the girl is 5 years old, so, that's kind of interesting. She sneaks out of the house, she finds, Taisy in a tree, she climbs up the tree, and she talks to Taisy. Taisy's crying, and Taisy asks her if, like, she thinks baby B went to heaven, or something like that. And then Betsy just, like, gives her this, like, full-on speech about, like, heaven and our loved ones and how everyone, her spirit's in the wind and stuff like that. And I was like, I thought this kid was 5. Like, she even uses, like, kind of like big words, and like her, like, the dialogue is like really pretty and sweet, but also they're like 5 year olds, and I'm like, I was not talking like that when I was 5 years old. But it was very sweet, like, it was cute. But it was just a little, it was a little interesting. The next chapter, they use the leftover egg dye to dye sand, and then sell it to the other kids. Then, they like to dress up in their mom's clothes and go, like, calling on houses. So they do that, and there's this house, like, at the end of their road that, like, has always, like, really interested them because it's, like, really big and it's really pretty. And they always talk about, like, how one day they're going to live in that house together, whatever. So they go to it because they're like, let's see who lives here because we're calling on people anyway, so might as well. And then a neighbor tells them that the people who live there left to go to Milwaukee, and they're like, okay, we'll leave them a calling card. But they obviously don't have their own calling cards because they are 5 years old. They have Betsy's mom's calling card, so they leave 2 of Betsy's mom's calling cards to, like, stand for both of them, even though the cards don't represent either of them, which I thought was kind of funny. Yeah, so they leave the calling cards and they make up the story about them living in the house. And then, Betsy has a little sister born, and they were planning on it being a boy, and they were gonna name it after the dad, but then it turns out to be a girl, and their dad's like, oh shoot, well, we can't very well name it Robert Jr. anymore, so how about we let you guys pick a name, because, you know, okay, this is what I'm wondering, in those days, because I could have sworn that back in that time, they, like, couldn't figure out if it was a boy or girl beforehand, because they didn't have, like, the technology. Like, you always were just, like, had to be prepared for surprise. But then also, like, I've watched shows set back in that time where, like, they've been like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant and it's a boy. And it's like, how do you know? Like, did they have a way of knowing? Like, I don't know. Let me know if you know how that worked. But I guess, like, they must have just had, like, some gut feeling that it was going to be a boy. because they were like, oh, it's definitely going to be a boy, so we only need to think of one name, and we're going to be boring and name it after the dad. I say that while my brother is literally named after my dad. But then it turns out to be a girl, and they're like, well, shoot, we did not even have a backup plan. We did not even see this coming whatsoever. So they literally tell their 8 and 5-year-old daughters, they're like, you guys can just name her, because, like, we can't think of anything. Which I personally would not trust my 8-year-old and my 5-year-old to name my baby, but you do you, Robert, and, whatever the mom's name is. I forgot what her name is, but the dad's name is Robert. But then Betsy and her sister, I think her sister's name is Julia. Betsy and Julia can't agree on a name. And then the dad ends up suggesting a name that they both like. So really, in the end, the dad did name the kid, but whatever. So then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Betsy gets really upset because she thinks the baby's ugly, which also had Ramona Quimby energy to me. She thinks the baby's ugly, and then she's sad because she's upset she's not the baby of the family anymore, and she's concerned that this means that, like, no one's gonna love her as much. So she runs off into the barn, she's crying about it. Taisy had come over to see the new baby, but noticed Betsy was missing, so she went out to find her, went out to the barn to talk to her, and Betsy refers to, this is what it says, she didn't know why she was crying, except that everything was so queer. Her mama in bed, a strange woman around, I think it was the doctor, the room smelling of medicine, or it wouldn't have been a doctor in that time, it was like a midwife, I guess. Her mom in bed, a strange woman around, the room smelling of medicine, and that unnecessary baby. It's a perfectly unnecessary baby, Betsy said aloud. I'm the baby. I thought that was really funny. I don't know. Anyway, so she whines to Taisy about how she's not going to be the baby anymore, and she doesn't like this baby that was just born. Which, I mean, I know, like, she's 5 and probably didn't think about this thing, but personally I was kind of like, this is your friend who just lost their baby sister, and now you're, like, crying about how you hate the one you just got? Like, I don't know. For me, personally, I was like, I don't know about that. But then Taisy gives her a very impassioned speech about how everyone grows out of being the baby eventually, and it doesn't mean that people love you less, and you're gonna love the little baby, and you're gonna be such a good older sister, and stuff like that. And it's like the most Taisy has talked this entire book. Because she was very... Okay, I keep comparing it to Little Women, but really this is like exactly how they are. It's literally that Betsy is like Jo and Taisy is like Beth. Like the same energies, like completely. So then, see, we're already getting towards the book. Like I told you, it was so short. Like it's like 14 chapters, I think. But each chapter is like 4 pages. Like, it's so small. Like, you could read it. Actually, it took me way longer than it needed to for me to read it because here's the thing. I kind of have a short attention span, which I know is terrible. I need to work on that. I need to get over it. And also, like I said, there's just been a lot going on. There hasn't been, like, a lot of time or not necessarily a ton of motivation to read. So I'm trying to work on that and get better at it. Then a woman shows up at their house and asking for their mother, and she's like, it was so nice of you, it was so nice of you to call, we're new, we just moved into the house down the street, we saw you left your calling cards, and she's like, oh, that was my daughter and her friend messing around. And the lady's like, oh, well, I have a little girl, and we'd love for her to make some friends. So Betsy and Taisy walk down to the house that they always dreamed about living in to meet the new girl who took it, basically. And her name is Tib, which was a little interesting. Apparently it's short for Thelma. I don't get it, but also there's a lot of names that are short for things that I feel like they shouldn't be short for. Like, I didn't realize till like a couple years ago that like Bob could be short for Robert, which I guess maybe kind of, but like just call him Rob. Like, why Bob? Like, I don't get it. What's that thing that's like short, or like Jim being short for James? never got that. There's something that's like short for William that's not Will or something like that. But I guess like Tib doesn't necessarily have to be short for Thelma. It could be just like a nickname. But yeah, I don't know. Thought that was kind of interesting. And this girl is a little quirky. That was so annoying. I'm sorry. She's a little quirky to say the least. They find her standing on her head outside by the tree. And they're like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "I'm standing on my head. What are you doing that for? I was practicing. That must be hard." "Oh no, it isn't." And then they had expected her to like look really fancy because like it's kind of obvious that her family's like a little better off. But she's not like wearing like anything super fancy, and they're like, "We thought you'd look fancier." And she's like, "Oh well, I do have fancy dresses. Do you want to see?" And she takes them inside her house, and her house is really nice, and she shows them her dresses, and the mom gives them, like, cake and stuff, which is kind of, you know, special to them, because, like, they're not used to there just being, like, cake in the kitchen, like, every day, and it being, like, such a casual thing to just snack on. And then they ask her if she wants to, like, join them to go climb the hill outside, and then it's implied at the end that the three of them kind of became a best friend trio, which I know that they did because I read a couple more of the books. But yeah, that's Betsy Taisy. It's a cute read. It's a cozy read. Like I said, it's not particularly like thrilling or anything. But it's cute for just fun little stories about some cute little best friends in the, I don't know what you call it, like the Little House on the Prairie times, kind of, like Civil War, was that the Civil War? I don't know, girl, I don't know history, but yeah, anyway, that was Betsy Taisy. Like I said, my history with the book is my mom read it as part of her, like, homeschooling. And I remember one, it wasn't this one, it was a different book in the series. It was like Betsy Taisy and Tib Go Downtown or something like that is what it was called. And I remember specifically her giving me the turn to read it out loud to her and my sisters, and there being like a long descriptive paragraph about a person's appearance. And I guess she had like been criticizing me on my writing that I wasn't descriptive enough, and I like specifically remember her telling me like, "Read that again and listen to all the descriptive words they use. That's how your writing needs to be." I don't know, that's like my most like prevalent memory of the series. But yeah, it's cute, it's fun. That's all I really have to say. I don't know when the next episode will be because I am an extremely inconsistent and unorganized person. So I'm not promising anything. Just keep an eye out. Keep your podcast notifications on. Stay subscribed. I don't know. Drop a review if you want. Say something nice about me. Or don't. You could be mean. And that's fine too, you know, you do you. I would hope you'd be nice, but if you want to be mean, speak your truth, girl. Speak your truth. So yeah, anyway, it is 10:18 p.m. and I've got work tomorrow at 9:00, so I should probably go, but thank you for listening. Like I said, subscribe, leave a review. I don't know if liking is a thing on podcasts. I don't think so. Share with your friends. Oh, actually, I had one more question. One more thing before I hop off. You are not done with me yet. Would anybody who listens to this be interested if... Well, okay, so I have an Instagram account for this podcast, right? But would anyone... Or actually, I could probably just do it on that Instagram account, but do IGTV? Or, okay, here. I'm going to ask you this question, and you can answer my question in the reviews. How about that? Because then also that's like, what do you call it? When people interaction, which leads to boosts and stuff. So tell me in the reviews what you think. Would it be cool or better if I did a separate Instagram account and call it just like Ava's Book Club or something like that, where I talk about books that I'm not going to talk about on the podcast. Like, because the podcast, right, it's like me like rereading childhood books. But I also do want to talk about like new books I'm reading. So would it be better if I made a whole separate account for that to talk about those books, or do it on the Good at Reading podcast Instagram and just do it on like IGTV, so it's not like part of like my feed where I would like just talk about like these episodes, but you could go to the IGTV. Let me know what you think, because I'm unsure. Tell me in the reviews. Okay, loves, I'm gonna hop off. I hope you like this. I hope you're having a great fall, evening, day, whenever you're listening to it, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.